bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, praise you and thank you with this opportunity to be here today with so many celebrations and with these graduations. Just be with us this day, not only this day, but be with us as we go forward. In the name of Jesus, amen. This Sunday certainly is a theme of graduation, and I know that every year we come to this time when it's a time of landmark and celebrations that have all kinds of emotions, whether you're a graduate or whether you're a parent or a graduate. Even teachers all have just all kinds of emotions at this time. And we have a different kind of graduation celebration of sort today following the service. And any who would like to join that, I'd like to invite you. Out front of the church, AJ, the children's minister, will be out there with our graduating third grade Sunday school class. And this is unusual, again, a special graduation this year. Their Sunday school teacher, Jane Danner, died this last year. And Jane has taught Sunday school, I'm sure, maybe some of you guys remember and had Jane in third grade. She's taught for 20 years. And so they're going to release some balloons. And as I mentioned earlier in announcements, we have this prayer shawl ministry. And at one point in Jane's journey to her death, she received a prayer shawl. That prayer shawl would be passed on to Megan Reed, who did the children's moment so wonderfully today. And so she taught with Jane. So she'll be receiving that prayer shawl. So that's out front of the church following this service. And again, Megan grabbed the same book I'm going to talk about today as a part of my message, because I do feel like Megan, Dr. Seuss is one of my favorite theologians there is. And truly. And so I'm going to share with you the reading of this book, and be prepared. I'll jump through some of the pages. Congratulations, today's your day. You're off to great places, you're off away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself in any direction that you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy who will decide where you go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. And in that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy as and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry. Don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang, and you'll soon take the lead, except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, sadly it's true, that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on, and you'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You'll come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're dark. And if you should go in, should you turn left or right and three quarters, or maybe not quite right, or go back around and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you'll find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. You can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place, for people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying, and you'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With banner flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that right kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There is so much fun to be done, except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games, games you can't win because you play against you, all alone. Whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much that you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the hacking cracks howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on will you hike. And I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with great care and great tact, and remember life's great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot and your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So be your name, Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Alley, Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. Wisdom from Dr. Seuss. And I think the beauty of this book is, yes, it's definitely written with graduates in mind, but I also think the beauty of it is it speaks to typically life. Because our life is not a linear journey. Our life has twists and turns and even some roundabouts. Now, I think when I look at scriptures and I look at a story that I think really captures the essence of this journey that has all these twists and turns, I think about the Israelites. I think about the Israelites when they were able to break away from slavery in Egypt and were able to break away from the Pharaoh. You know, they started out their journey with, congratulations, it's great, we're on our way, with lots of enthusiasm. And in fact, it's in Scripture, the Pharaoh sent them off with these words, rise up, go away from my people, both you and the Israelites, go, worship the Lord as you said, take your flocks and your herds as you said, and be gone, and bring a blessing on me too. So the Israelites began their journey. And they set out from Sukkot and encamped at Etham. And as they traveled, God was with them as a pillar at night and in day. And they were so excited. And they knew that they were going to see greater days were ahead of them. But it wasn't long before they hit their first obstacle, and that was at the Red Sea. And they realized that Egypt, that the Pharaoh and his people were pursuing them to bring them back. But we know the story, don't we? Moses stretched out his hand, and he parted the seas. And the Israelites got to cross on dry land, and the seas then came back together, and it drowned all the Egyptians, and they were tossed into the sea. And then after that moment, there was a time of celebration. Moses sang a song, and Moses' sister Miriam took time to celebrate. So the Israelites headed out of town to that wide open air. Oh, the places you'll go. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. And isn't that so true of life? There are those prickly perches kinds of life. We come down with a lurch and we find ourselves in a slump, and it isn't easy to unslump ourselves, is it? Whether we're trying to unslump out of a depression or out of a financial ruin or a loss of a job or a breakup of a relationship, it's never easy to unslump ourselves. And so sometimes those slumps lead us to that place that Dr. Seuss talks about, that the waiting place. And again, it makes me think about the Israelites and how they experienced their waiting place. One of them was explained in Exodus 15, where the waiting place was for them a place where they didn't have anything to drink. And they were so thirsty, and the only water they found was bitter. And then later in Exodus in chapter 16, another waiting place. And they cried out because they said, we don't even have anything to eat. We're hungry. At least when we were back in slavery, we had food to eat. So they just waited. And they waited with fear and uncertainty and worry. And maybe in your own lives, maybe you've already found this kind of waiting place. This pause and this confusion. And I even say if you are a praying kind of person, oftentimes the prayer may be, hurry up, God, I can't take this waiting much longer. Israelites weren't so good at that waiting. And that's what we know in the story. Because at a time when they were waiting for Moses to come down from Mount Sinai, he seemed to be up there away from them. He was their leader for way too long, and they couldn't stand waiting any longer. So they had Aaron help him, and they melted all their gold jewelry that they had, and they created their own God because they couldn't stand the waiting. And what they didn't learn yet was waiting was to be an opportunity. Waiting isn't always a time that we want in our lives, but oftentimes it's a time that God intends for us to learn more, to learn more about God, and to learn how God provides. So when we find ourselves in those kinds of waiting kinds of times, maybe we're sick in bed, maybe we have to take a rest at home for recovery, what God intends for us is to take this unusual moment to be an opportunity, to come to know God yet in a greater way. Dr. Seuss reminds us that not only will we have waiting places, but sometimes these waiting places and other times in life will lead us to lonely places. And lonely places, don't they happen in all stages of life? And for the Israelites, the wisdom about lonely places came to them as Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, talked to him about a lonely place he was headed for. Moses was the leader. And what Jethro saw, he was so proud of his son-in-law, but what he saw was he was a leader who was doing it all himself and by himself. And by doing it all himself and by himself, he was finding himself in a very lonely place. And Jethro said, not only will it be lonely now, but the potential for more loneliness in that place is great. And so he called him out to change and to overcome that and do things different. So isn't that the truth? Can't we find lonely places at times in life? Sometimes marriages can get mixed up and it becomes a lonely place. Sometimes raising kids can get mixed up and it can become a lonely place. Sometimes our occupation can become mixed up and it can become a lonely place. And isn't it true that in order to get through or to avoid a lonely place, the wisdom again of Dr. Seuss says, step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. It's probably great words of wisdom for us, an ounce of prevention, but also it's the way for us to recover through some of these experiences so that we don't get stuck. So I say to graduates, congratulations. This is your day and your time in your life, and you're off to different places. But also as a pastor, I'd like to say to anyone who's graduating, just as also any of us who launch into tomorrow, that my hope that we would use our brains and our hearts to search for the right paths in our life and then know that we are steered then in the right direction. There's nothing like the power and confidence that comes when we know for certain that we're moving in a direction not only of our own power and our own decision, but also that we combine, that we understand that what God desires for us and the gifts that he will provide us, because then we find that balancing act. Oh, yes, he says, Seuss, there will be the lonely places. And I know one of the lonely places that we sometimes talk about that I'm always real attuned in visiting with young adults is there's a lonely place called the quarter life crisis as our young adults enter into the real world. And so I read just a short blurb about this. What kind of place can this quarter century be as there is a new world to face? Common symptoms of a quarter life crisis are often feelings of being lost, scared, lonely, or confused about what steps to take in order to transition properly into adulthood. Studies have shown that unemployment and choosing a career path is a major cause for young persons to undergo stress or anxiety. Early stages of one living on their own for the first time and learning to cope without parental help can also induce feelings of isolation and loneliness. So isn't that what Dr. Seuss has identified? It's those lonely places, those waiting places. But he also says you're not alone. As Scott said, your church family remains your church family. Your family remains your family. And your God remains your God. And so as you move away and make your own choices, what I would hope is that you will choose to remember that. And you will remember that God is your God. And here at the church, when we talk about our vision, we always talk about connecting and growing and serving. You know what? That's just so we bring balance to the church life. So Dr. Seuss says, find that balance in your own life. And that will help you to prevent some of these waiting in lonely places, perhaps. But also it will help you to recover when you find yourself in one of those lonely or waiting kinds of places. This is a great season, a great time to launch into a wonderful world with wonderful opportunities. Be excited and have that energy. Take it with you. But just also tuck in your back pocket some of this wisdom for life. Wisdom that will help you be strong always. I want to finish with reading again this very last page of this story, because this is why I want us to read it. I want us to read it because I want all of us to know that this story is about life and it's about all of us. It's about how we all experience this. So he finished by identifying some names of some individuals that he was speaking about, but I'd like to finish with us using our names so that we know this story speaks to us. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I'm going to start with so, be your name. And at that point, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. I want all of you to say your first names out loud so that we join the names to whom this book is addressed. So, be your name. 1, 2, 3. Patty. Be your name Box Mom or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai, Allie, Van Allen, O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, it is an exciting day, and every day is an exciting day because every day is an opportunity before us. So help us to realize that and help us to look for you in the midst of the opportunity, you in the midst of whatever circumstance we're in, because it may be a waiting place, it may be a lonely place, but God, you are there just waiting to turn it into an opportunity. We offer praise and glory always in the name of Jesus, and all God's people say, amen.